Too often we are given confusing messages about home and home life and our roles as mothers and fathers. How do we know what's true and what we're supposed to be doing? Today, I'm going to unravel that for us. Let's talk about what is home really meant to be? I have the biggest holistic homemaking and motherhood super secret to reveal to you today. Let's jump in. Hey mamas, welcome to Her Home and Heart podcast. Do you want balance in your home life and peace in your heart at the end of each long day? Do you want to let go of feelings of failure because you've yelled at the kids again despite promising yourself and God you'd stop? I'm Katie. I'm a homeschooling mom who also had little kids and wanted to create a thriving home environment. In this podcast, you'll find resources for holistic living, heart connection with your family, and homeschooling so that you won't wake up to regret one day. Even if you have outside-the-box learners or your own health challenges, you'll find support here. Breathe deeply, grab a coffee, and let the kids go play, because it's time for you to find peace and fulfillment that you've been longing for. Let's go! Before we dive in today, I want to tell you that you should check out the description and stay until the end of the episode because I have a little treat for you. Imagine a beautiful home set on the water with rare, beautiful plants elegantly arranged around it. The family has systems and routines in place. They're well fed, they're well clothed, they're even well educated. But at this same home, there's no love present. There's a coldness, a harshness. There's no deep bonds between the souls that live there. The children feel distant. They feel unheard. They long for the day that they can just leave and never look back. The parents are self-focused. They don't even love one another. Rather, they find each other useful for their own means, and that includes their children. Is this home? Or is it no better, maybe even worse, than an institution? A true home is filled with love. That love is powerful. It brings home sunshine, and it almost gives a magical quality. A true home is filled with kindred souls. It kind of has that all for one and one for all motto that we hear so often when we watch an episode of The Three Stooges or we watch the movie. Home love is that one of a kind love. It begins from the moment we're born. When we're first born and nursed by our mother, we are rooted deeply as we grow and as we're taught to live in community with others, all the way until death. When we actually mourn those that we have loved and we carry them in our hearts. Think about the grandparents that you have loved, aunts and uncles. Think about the love your parents had for their parents. When they've passed, they've mourned them. And the memories always, they stuck in their heart and in their mind. I know how much at holidays when we would go home and visit Steve's parents, I'd hear the stories, these wonderful stories of their parents and their grandparents. And decades later, beyond the time when these parents and grandparents have passed on, they're still very alive in the hearts of their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren because they have been missed. That deep-rooted, loving connection had been made there. Home is so much more than walls or land. Home is not a location. It's not even a group of people. Animals have a den. If you think about it, they have a whole group. The group even lives in union. We've spent a lot of time lately watching a show about lions and a lion pride and watching how those lions would relate with a human who had raised them by hand and who was trying to establish this place, this location where they could live freely in a sanctuary. But those lions, even though he was part of their group, they weren't his family. Not like his wife and his son were his family. Those lions had a union, but even in their den, they didn't have a home. Not the way that the man had a home when he went home at night to his wife and his son. Home is even more than a place than where our parents live and where we just grew up. humans are gifted with something so much deeper and so much richer. We have been given a true blessing from God, and it's our choice if we want to grasp hold of it. And if you look around in society, you're going to see time and time again that families do not choose to grasp hold of it. But today we're going to talk about how we can grasp hold of it. Home is a place that really involves our hearts and our souls. It's a place of love, acceptance, forgiveness, and deep bonding. The love there begins with the love between the parents. We meet, we fall in love, we date, we get married, we spend a couple of years, or maybe not, having a wonderful time until, ta-da, we have a child. And then the love is directed to the children. Of course, the spouses still love one another, but the children are now a large focus of the love, and the love has multiplied. And then the love between the children goes between siblings, and the love is even more multiplied. This love goes all the way from birth until beyond death, just like I mentioned, where we sit around at the holidays or at family visits and we discuss the good times and the loved ones that are missing, but who are still so beloved. Our hearts are naturally drawn to home. We were a military family, and I was a military kid. My husband wasn't. Steve wasn't. And even as a military kid who didn't have a permanent location, I had the same longing for home as Steve, who always grew up in the same place. Because home for us wasn't a location. We didn't miss the grass, the walls, the decorations, you know, the state even that our family was in. We missed those relationships. We missed those bonds. And I cannot tell you the number of times that we traveled home from foreign lands when we could have gone on vacation, but instead we chose to come home and visit. Because home is a place that we're drawn to. When we leave home, we become homesick, which is a funny saying. You know, we don't really think of it. We take it for granted. We're like, oh, I'm so homesick. We don't really think about, well, why are we homesick? But we long for that time and that connection and for those that we have such strong ties to. We look forward to coming home. Steve and I could hardly wait. We would count down the months, you know, until he would be home from deployment or until he and I could go home to visit our families. And, you know, our souls just rejoice at the thought of that moment when we return home and we see our family running out to greet us. And they're so happy to be reconnected with us, or we are so happy to be reconnected with them. There's something about that, that it's so natural to our human hearts. Yet, if you think about it, society pressures us to live as individuals within the same walls, especially these days. Things have shifted even since Steve and I were young, and probably since you were young. And it continues to shift even more, and especially in the last couple of years with people stuck inside their homes. Interestingly, for some families that meant better connections, and for others it didn't. We are pressured to live in the same walls but alone, because we are so consumed with things like TV, iPads, video games, Facebook, and other social media platforms. We have had the loss of the family meal. If many, many homes, you don't see that anymore. And that is incredibly important when it comes to educational success, for preventing depression and suicide in teenagers, and even for avoiding drug use. Just a single meal a day, and it doesn't have to be dinner. It could be breakfast or lunch, but it's that reconnection with that group of people that you are bonded to that makes the difference. That's the magic. We also have that societal push that says, oh, teenagers are going to be trouble and they're going to be withdrawn and miserable no matter what, no matter what we do, no matter how we bring them up. And there's a similar societal push for teens to think their parents and siblings are stupid and embarrassing. It's all this drive toward individualism in our society. We are separated all day by school, by work, and by extracurricular activities. Oftentimes, Parents are with their children one-on-one around 2 hours a day, some less. It's extremely difficult to create really deep bonds when you don't see each other. It's really difficult. Some families manage to pull it off, but many more don't. And if you look around at the divorce rates and the amount of families falling apart, even families that look great on the outside, when you dig deeper, many times, so many are broken and hurting because they've accepted this societal push as normal. Is it a wonder that families, you know, struggle when we look at everything society's pushing? Let's think about marriage for a minute. Marriages are force-fed messages that if it's not a perfect marriage, it's not worthy. That if it's not romance all the time, that it's dead. That marriage is not about living a life focused, you know, on serving our spouse. That it's supposed to be all about us. That it's supposed to be about fulfilling me and my desires, and that he, you know, he is supposed to be Prince Charming, or she is supposed to be whatever, Stepford wife, right? And that if it's not that way, then it's broken. Society also gives messages that if it's not feeling fun or pleasurable anymore, then it's a disposable relationship. So we're inundated under this societal pressure, and many people just have this choice of selfishness. It's very natural. That's how, you know, humans are that way. And we so often will choose selfishness instead of stewardship. And in the light of all the brainwashing that's going on around us everywhere we turn, we lose sight of what home is supposed to be. We don't see our home or our family as a place of stewardship anymore. We see it as a place that's supposed to serve us. It doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be also loved in return. Please don't get me wrong. Of course we are. And we're supposed to take care of ourselves and be nurtured in our homes. But it's a mutual beneficial relationship. We don't see our home anymore as a place where we're given the honor to serve. You know, it's so often families expect that it's a place to be served. What happens when we do this is that it removes our joy. It sets us up for failure, and it destroys the bonds that we long to have with our family. Little girls dream of having Prince Charming. Why? Not because she really wants a sunset or a castle. She wants romance, and she wants to be loved. She wants to be cherished. She wants to have someone who she feels safe with. That's a relationship thing. That all happens in the bond and in the details of how they work out their relationship. What happens is when our joy is removed, when we are failing, when our bonds are broken, it's accomplishing Satan's purposes. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." This is a verse my kids and Steve and I talk about all the time. But in that same verse, Jesus says, "I have come that they can have life and have it abundantly." Yep, the world is going to be hard. It is never going to be perfect, but we can have abundant life. It's so joyful to realize that. The Bible lays out a plan for our lives. It lays out a plan for our families. It's very similar to having a manual for our car. You know, most of us, we get a new car and we get the manual and we want to know where all the gadgets are and we want to, you know, drive the thing and see how it turns and how fast it speeds up and slows down and just get to know it, right? We read the manual to know if something breaks, what do we do? Anytime there's a problem, we pull that manual back out and we look at it and we say, oh gosh, what does this light mean? And, you know, what do I do if the tire isn't quite right? And so the Bible is what tells us how to drive this amazing thing we have called life. It's where we are able to learn to drive family and home. Homemaking and motherhood and fatherhood and parenting, like the whole thing. It's all laid out right there. And it's all for our good. Because just like if you don't have a manual on your car and something looks like it's going to go wrong, or you would like to prevent something from going wrong, if you don't have a manual, you're not going to know how to drive that amazing machine. It's the same with our families and our lives. If we are able to use the proper manual, it brings safety, peace, joy, an abundant life, which is so wonderful. And again, I'll remind you, it doesn't mean life's going to be problem-free. I'm quite a living example of that. We have had a tremendous share of struggles. And with our son's profound disabilities, we still live every day with so many struggles and so many feelings about that. But our choice is to follow what the Bible says about stewarding our home and our family in the midst of struggle. And because of that, our family is in a way different from many other very challenged families in that we still have a thriving marriage. We still have a family that is together. There are so many families who we have met along the way who have broken up. And it's because this is stressful. When you have a kid who requires full-time, every minute of the day care, even sometimes when they're sleeping, it is very stressful. When you don't know how to get a break, you don't have other family around to help you, or friends don't even know what to do. But when we follow the manual that teaches us how to respect each other and love each other and steward one another mutually, instead, it becomes something that's rich and it deepens our compassion and it deepens our commitment as well. So when we're living the way that our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our souls were actually created to live, then there is this fulfillment in our entire being, even in trial. So what does a home that's being properly stewarded look like? Because we already talked about, it's not about external features, right? Even though, of course, that part can be fun. We get so caught up in the distraction of external appearance that actually the thief steals from us while the real riches are, like, he steals the real riches when we're not looking. So we don't want him to get into our treasure chests while we're distracted. But that's what he does when we're too focused on the external. So here is a little list of words I came up with, I compiled when I was thinking about home and how we could describe home versus a house. What are the riches that we can have inside of this home when we learn to properly steward it? We can have love, discipleship, discipline, boundaries, respect, community, companionship, government, society, personal development. Deep human personal development happens in a home. We have sacrifice. We have nourishment, spiritually, physically, relationally. We have rest. Sometimes it's not physical rest. Sometimes it's just a mental, emotional rest that we have because we know we are accepted, because we know we are heard, understood, loved. That doesn't mean perfectly. No other human is ever going to understand and love us perfectly. And we have to give grace and forgiveness for that because we don't love perfectly. But when we know that we are in a place where we, with all of our flaws, are safe to be with the other humans who love us the most of anybody on the face of the earth with all of their flaws, we can rest. Sometimes it's physical rest, and that's always great. Home is also a place for education, for duties to each other, and the blessing of one another. Another couple of words I came up with while thinking of home were loyalty, sympathy, affection, compassion, nurture, and protection. And I would encourage you, when you have a few minutes of quiet, and I know most mamas don't get a lot of quiet, but grab a pen and a paper, or even just notes in your phone, and type out what you feel like describes home, the home that you long to have, the home that you dream of, the home that you would like to be the steward of, the place that, you know, you are in charge of something that you've been gifted with. What does that look like? What does that feel like? What words are you associating with that? Your home can be a place of love, safety, affection, discipleship, all those words that I mentioned that came to mind. And the good news is, it starts with you. There are very few things in the world that we are in control of, right? Outside of our properties, almost nothing. But inside the walls of our home, we get to make that choice. So, Mama, do you want a home or do you want a house? You get to pick. Are you willing to wear your good steward's cloak with honor and with character? Are you ready to be a faithful steward who does the work entrusted to her by the lover of her soul? Jesus has entrusted us with this. Are you ready to be the steward of your own care while you steward your home and your family? The good thing is, I know you are. We're on this journey together, right? You are ready to sow the seeds of love, peace, gentleness, joy, and strong character. And when you sow these seeds, we are promised in the word that these will pass down through the generations. So each of us gets to make the choice what seeds we're going to sow and if we're going to sow them. And today we make the choice, yes, we are going to do that. And we are promised that we will be rewarded. We have a holy vocation and a calling, mamas. We do. And any papas who are listening, this is a worthy, honorable gift that we've been given to steward our families. And it's hard. It's work. Think about any butler on any show taking care of a castle. It is work. But it is so good. It is so good. And we are gifted these responsibilities. And I'll remind you, it's only for a short season. The days feel long, and I promise you the years are short. And having one who is of the age that he can fly the coop, it was so short. The days felt so long. I was so tired, beat on my feet at the end of so many days. But I wish I could do it all over. So if you're in that exhausted phase, I hear you. I see you. I understand. But I can encourage you. It is worth it. This is a short season. So let's imagine again. Imagine a small home, very humble, with a warm fire. There's laughter and joy coming through the windows, right? The family is running out to greet each other as they arrive for a holiday. There's nothing there that's really tremendous. It's a very humble home. But each person there feels heard. They feel accepted, even with their flaws. Now compare it to the original lovely but very cold home that I mentioned in the beginning. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's make this holiday season the most connected, joyful, family nurture focused holiday that we have had yet. Let's do this. Put down the perfection. Put down the overwhelm. Breathe deep. You can even set your to-do list aside. I know there's still some shopping to do. Try to do pickup if you can. Do it on the internet. Just go pick it up. Save yourself some time. But this holiday season, let's work to just be. We are human beings, not human doings. Let's just be together this holiday season with our families, with our spouse, with our children, and truly connect and create the feeling of home. I'm so glad I got to talk to you all today. This has been on my heart. I've been so excited to share these concepts with you that are life-changing. And don't forget, go grab the gift that I've given you that's in the description. It'll help you save some time and some money. And I think you'll really like it. I really had fun putting it together. It'll save you a whole bunch of time. That's a huge benefit. So, all right, everyone. I will see you next week, my friend. And I look forward to being with you again. And I pray that you have the most wonderful Thanksgiving for any of you in the U.S. And for those of you not in the U.S., I send much love to each of you. Many blessings this week. Thank you for being on this journey with me. And I will see you next week. Hey friends, I have a gift for you. Happy Thanksgiving. I would love to give you an I'm thankful for you gift. I want to help you with your shopping, help you with figuring out what in the world to get for that mother-in-law or bestie or teachers even in your life. You just know it is hard to think of what they might like that they don't already have and you don't want to clutter up their house. So I've spent a little bit of time doing some design work this week and I am going to gift you a printable that you can use as wall art. In fact, I actually have it hanging in my house now, or you can go ahead and transition these into printable holiday cards. You can stick them in a cute little baggie with a pretty bow, and those can become amazing teacher gifts. So you don't have to spend any money, just your printer and ink, and you can get a bow and a baggie you probably already have on hand. Teacher gifts are done. Print it out for mother-in-law. Go get a great coupon at one of the craft stores and put it in a pretty frame, and you're done. So from my heart to yours, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being with me this year. Thank you for supporting me on relaunch. I wouldn't be here without you guys, and I'm here for you. So go grab that printout, make your holidays even brighter, and I'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening and spending time with us today.
If you know anyone who could benefit from my mom's podcast, please share it and leave a review so others can find us too.
See you next time.